Well, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you're enjoying Tech Ed. We're a little bit over halfway through, which means one of two things. Either you're exhausted or you're just getting started. And I'm not sure which one you're at, but I'm just getting started. So what I'm going to be talking about today is unified remote access. Unified remote access is a new role in Windows Server 2012 that really brings together all the different types of remote access connectivity that you might want to have in your enterprise. We're bringing together VPN, direct access, site-to-site connectivity to support the hybrid cloud, all in one server role that's designed to be easy to deploy, that's designed to be scalable from very simple, small-scale deployments all the way up to large global deployments. I'm also going to give you some highlights into how features like direct access are integrated into the Windows 8 client. So you can see how we've made enhancements to make capabilities like remote access easy to use, natural to use, fast and fluid, very natural for the end user. The agenda for today is I'll talk a little bit about the changing mobile workforce and how that's evolving, how that's influenced our thinking about remote access in the enterprise. I'll talk about the building blocks that are part of the unified remote access role, and then I'll start diving deep into different areas of unified remote access in Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012. I'll talk about the client experience, walk you through how to get a simple deployment up and running, and we'll talk about some of the advanced capabilities for multi-site deployment, for high availability, and I'll give you a sense of some of the enhancements we've made to drive performance and scalability. I'll then finally talk about interoperability and how you can deploy Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows Server 2008 R2, or Windows Server 2012, and what combinations work and what capabilities come together. At the end of the talk, I want you to come away with three different key points. First of all, that the mobile workforce is changing, and it does require that you revisit your basic assumptions about remote connectivity. We'll talk about how Windows Server 2012 is designed to meet some of those evolving needs. Second, that both Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012 have made fundamental advances in how direct access can be configured, deployed, scaled, and used, really making it possible for you to deploy something very, very simple, very easily on your existing network, all the way out to a full-scale, global, multi-site, fault-tolerant deployment. And third, that the resources are available today for you to get started with your deployment using the existing Windows 8 release preview and Windows Server 2012 RC. So many of you have seen this slide before. It talks about Windows Server 2012. And today we're going to really talk about the mobile modern workforce. So let's talk about the modern workforce for just a minute and what that means. I want to start by asking all of you a couple of questions. How many of you, since you're all on the road, away from the office, mobile, by show of hands, how many of you have at some point this week done some work back in the office? Say, checked email. Let's start there. I assume it's everybody. Anybody has not checked email this week? You're a better person than I am. Anybody here done something more than email? Check an operations log, approve an expense report, reboot a server, something actually useful beyond email? Just a lot of you? How many of you, and I'm going to I need to hold up the devices because as I was walking around before the talk, I know that they're out there. How many of you have a personal device that you use to do work? Personal phone, your iPhone, your Android device, your iPad. I saw a few iPads out there that you use to do work. A few of you? And I want to admit it. And let me ask one more question. How many of you on your work laptop or your work tablet, your work device, sneaked in a little personal work in there? Maybe you sent an email to your spouse, or maybe you called your spouse, or you checked in on Facebook or tweeted or something? Anyone would admit it? A few of you? You represent the modern mobile workforce. The modern mobile workforce is evolving. You're blurring work and life. Your users are blurring work and life. They're doing personal stuff in the office. They're doing work stuff at home. They're confused about what's work and what's personal. It's all blurring together. They'll multitask. They'll be doing something personal while at the same time doing some work stuff. They might be on the phone doing one thing and on the computer doing another, but they're integrating work and family, friends, social, all at the same time. They're moving information to the cloud. Your data is not just sitting on your client anymore. In fact, less and less data is just sitting on the client. It's moving to a SharePoint server or a file server. Your personal data is moving to the cloud. Data is moving to different locations. Users expect to be productive from anywhere. This is really, really important. I got an email on my way. Tell you about my email in a minute. People expect to be productive from anywhere. At home, at work, in the car, at conferences. They expect to be productive at any time, anywhere. Doesn't matter when, doesn't matter where, they just expect to be productive. And that's enabled by the fact that they have connectivity everywhere. How many of you would stay at a hotel that doesn't offer Wi-Fi or Ethernet? Anybody? Really? Okay, you're an exception. Nobody would imagine it. No, 10 years ago, it was unheard of. It was unique to find a hotel that offered Wi-Fi. You expect it today. I'm from Seattle. Seattle, we drink a lot of coffee. That's why we're always vibrating and jittery. You don't want us anywhere near a keyboard after drinking that coffee. But You can't find a coffee shop in Seattle that doesn't have Wi-Fi access. You wouldn't go to a coffee shop that doesn't offer Wi-Fi access. You're not connected. I got an email. I came cross-country. I got an email when I was coming over complaining that I had not responded while I was on the plane, because clearly the plane had Wi-Fi access, and I should have been on it. Right? So not only can I not escape from Wi-Fi, but everyone else expects that I'm connected all the time. Right? Connectivity assumptions have changed. So where our data lives is changing. It's moving to different places. And more importantly, when and where we work is changing. It's changing in very fundamental ways. And that's what we're going to talk about when it comes to unified remote access. How we start dealing with some of those trends of different devices and different types of productivity and bringing it all together into one set of management solutions. We touched on the range of different experiences and devices that you might use to get connected, but let's talk about a few of those. Obviously, you might access from a combination of either Windows or non-Windows tablets or PCs and need to get into the corporate network. And we're going to talk about the role of a VPN as an enabler for those types of devices. Many non-Windows PCs, every Windows PC comes with a built-in VPN, or you can get a third-party VPN client. Almost every non-Windows PC out there, non-Windows device, has a built-in VPN client that's available. Mobile phones. Most major mobile phone operating systems now have a VPN client built in or available. Your managed Windows client, your domain-joined Windows client, has a couple of options. Obviously, it has a VPN, either a Microsoft built-in VPN or a third-party VPN. But in Windows 7, and of course continuing in Windows 8, we introduced direct access, which is a next-generation type of remote connectivity option that gives you always-on connectivity. And we'll talk a lot more about direct access in a few minutes. And of course, if you've just got an arbitrary PC, a kiosk, a device that you've never seen before, of course you've got VDI, you've got remote app, the ability to keep the data, keep the application in the enterprise, and be able to basically screen share that application down to the desktop. But as you saw in the keynote yesterday, in Windows 8, we've introduced a new capability called Windows to Go, the ability to carry a Windows image on a USB key. And we're going to talk about how direct access can be used in conjunction with Windows to Go to give you a mobile experience anywhere, on any PC, a domain-joined, managed experience from any PC with that USB key. So what unified remote access is all about is bringing together these types of connectivity, VPN, direct access, Windows to Go, and delivering it to you in a secure, easy-to-manage, unified role. So let's talk a little bit more about the two core components of unified remote access, which are VPN and direct access. How many of you have a direct access deployment today? A few of you. How many of you have a VPN? And how many of you are using the Microsoft VPN? Okay, a few. Okay, good. So we'd like to see more. Let's talk about VPN and direct access. For those of you who aren't familiar with direct access, a VPN is really a way of getting your client connected into the network. Your user launches a VPN, gets connected, and then they can get stuff done on the enterprise network. One of the stories, I'll just tell a quick story. Several years ago, I was at a customer site, and they were telling me about how their users, they had a huge compliance problem. Their users were never patched. And it turns out the real reason was that their users never VPN'd in. So their users would like disappear for 30 days or a month at a time, 2 months at a time, never VPN in because it was a pain. And so they never saw those devices. They didn't know the health of those devices. And then they'd show up one day, you know, they'd occasionally VPN in or they'd show up in the office, and they'd just be out of date. They'd be a security threat. And so that kind of issue led us down this path of really thinking about what does it mean not to have the user connect into the network, but have the network connect back out to the user. And that's what direct access is all about. Direct access extends your network out to the mobile device wherever it happens to be. It gets an IP address, and it's automatically connected into your corporate network. You can see it, you can manage it, you can patch it. And the user gets a great experience because they get the same experience as if they were in the office. So from a user perspective, they can operate as if they were in the office using the same tools, the same applications, the same URLs. They can be more productive. They don't have to think about the effort of getting connected. It just happens automatically. And for IT, what we've typically seen with direct access is greater rates of compliance, faster patching, simpler help desk calls, because the user is operating, you can use the same mechanisms and tools that you're already using for people who are at their desk. So let's talk about Windows Server 2012 and Windows 8 and what we've done to enable unified remote access. I'll talk about some of the capabilities that are built in. It all starts with a great user experience. Nothing is good unless the user loves it. So let's start with a great user experience. We've integrated direct access into the Windows 8 client in a deep way. And we'll talk about and show how that works. But fundamentally, the user will see direct access as just a natural part of the operating system when you've deployed it. We've provided a rich set of authentication options. We'll talk about all of those in just a few moments, but the authentication options range from smart card and certificates, which are what we supported in the past, to new types of authentication, ranging from one-time password to Kerberos. And we've introduced a new capability called a virtual smart card. I'll talk a little bit more about virtual smart card in just a little while. In addition, the client will automatically connect through the best entry point for your direct access deployment, no matter where it happens to be. So when I'm traveling here in Florida, I'll automatically connect to the closest entry point into my enterprise, giving me the fastest level of connectivity. When I'm in Europe, I don't have to backhaul my traffic back to the US. The client will automatically figure out where I need to go. Again, automatic, simple, global. Unified remote access also fundamentally changes the basics around deployment, management, and monitoring of direct access and VPN. It starts with an integrated management console, the ability to launch and configure direct access and VPN from a single console right out of Server Manager. And we'll show that in just a few minutes. It also provides the ability to deploy direct access on your existing network. No network changes required. You can put it inside your DMZ. You can deploy it on your existing IPv4 networks. You don't have to make network changes to make this happen. And we provide an integrated monitoring console that allows you to monitor the health and status of all of your direct access servers around the world, as well as drill in to see what kind of user connectivity is going on and where it's coming in from. We enable a number of new scenarios. And this is really important, because it's not just about making what we had better. We've also recognized that there are a bunch of new things that users want to be able to do. I already mentioned Windows to Go and the ability to deploy direct access on a mobile USB key. I mentioned the fact that we support hybrid clouds, the ability to connect your on-site resources and your resources that might be hosted in a public cloud provider, or even entire networks that might be hosted in public cloud providers as part of this integrated role. And I'll talk a little bit about off-premise provisioning, the ability for you to easily take a remote PC that's not even in your enterprise and get it up and running, provision onto your network, join to your domain, configure direct access, and deploy all the policies that you want to be able to do without that PC coming into the enterprise. And finally, we've done major enhancements in terms of scale and performance. That falls into a number of different areas, ranging from the basic performance of direct access, the ability to scale up the number of users and the amount of traffic it can handle, but also to recognize that more and more of your applications and servers are actually being deployed in VMs. And so we've made some interesting enhancements to make sure that your remote access can actually be deployed in a VM to make it easier for you to deploy and scale up, scale down, and roll out globally. There's also substantial enhancements in high availability so that you can actually deploy clusters and load balance traffic across within a site or across multiple sites. So with that introduction, let's dig right in and start talking about some of the enhancements in more detail. And I'm going to start with the client experience. As I mentioned, we have rethought how direct access is integrated into the Windows 8 client with the goal of making that experience both easier for the user, natural for the user, fast and fluid, and make it also easier for the help desk to troubleshoot problems. The Windows 8 client will automatically connect to direct access in the most efficient way by going out and finding the closest entry point for that connection. It's integrated into the experience, and we provide a set of flexible authentication options. Let me just talk about what those are. We support the use of Kerberos for authentication. So you do not need to deploy PKI and certificates in order to use direct access with Windows 8 clients. Instead, what we do is allow the client to use Kerberos to authenticate through the direct access server to your existing Active Directory and Kerberos infrastructure. Will automatically secure the Kerberos authentication over the internet so that you can actually just roll out authentication using the existing authentication credentials that users already have. We, of course, support PKI and certificates. We support physical smart cards. We support one-time passwords, so tokens from RSA and a number of other partners who have one-time password systems. But we also have a new solution called Virtual Smart Card. And the idea behind a Virtual Smart Card is that we install a client certificate onto the TPM on the client's laptop. The TPM is secured, and so when the user needs to connect in, the client has to prove that they've got physical possession of the laptop and the necessary PIN to unlock the TPM. And so this is another way of doing two-factor authentication without having to roll out physical tokens, physical smart cards, but it gives you the strength of a smart card with the security of a TPM. Windows 8 client also introduces a new properties page that lets you get deeper into understanding what's going on with direct access connectivity. And I'll show this in just a moment. But fundamentally what it does is provides you visibility into the connection status. It gives you visibility into the site that you're connected to and gives you, as IT managers and your help desk, tools to help users deal with connection problems of any sort. So you can collect logs, view logs, and email logs, and even customize the content of those logs to your enterprise needs. So let's start out by just walking through that client experience in more detail. And I'm going to start out by just showing how the user gets connected into Direct Access and then the experience when the user has that connection in place. And then we'll walk through that troubleshooting UI. So I'm going to start by what we have here is a Windows 8 client desktop. It's not currently connected to any networks. So imagine that I've just walked into a coffee shop. I want to get some work done. I haven't bought my latte yet, so my hands aren't quite jittery yet. But what I want to do is get some work done. I need to access some corporate app so that I can approve an expense report and see what's going on. So what we're going to do is going to bring up the networking UI, and you'll see that I'm not currently connected to anything. And you see that my workplace connection is there but not connected. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just launch a PowerShell command real quick, which is just going to simulate getting connected. I just bought my latte, I've got on the Wi-Fi, and I'm going to just show you what that experience ends up looking like. We're just going to quickly do that. Bring up the networking UI again. You see that I'm now connected to the network, my Wi-Fi network, and Direct Access automatically started connecting. I didn't have to think about it. As soon as I got on Wi-Fi, Direct Access recognized that internet connectivity is there and started going out and connecting. It connected. It literally takes about that long. We typically see less than 5 seconds for DA to get connected. Okay, so the user doesn't have to think about it. What DA did is it went off and found the best entry point, got me connected, opened a secret connection, registered me in the corporate network, and I'm ready to go. So what I'm now going to do is bring up a browser and access my corporate app. The first thing I want you to notice is that URL. The URL is just a flat name. It's the same name that I would have used if I was in the office. Okay? Even though I'm sitting on the road, what Direct Access is doing is recognizing that these are names that are owned by the corporate network and should try and resolve them against the corporate network directly. Okay? So app one went directly into the corporate network, got resolved to the corporate network, and I got access to that internet site. Now, one of the comments that I actually, I'll just mention, and this will be relevant later on in the demo, I've connected in here in this demonstration through the France entry point. Okay, and we'll use that as a basis to show the multi-site capabilities in just a few minutes. One thing I want to pause this a second. One thing I want to point out is one of the comments that we actually have gotten from customers who have deployed Direct Access is that sometimes there are name conflicts. Sometimes there's an app in the enterprise called App 1, and there might be a PC on the local network called App 1. And in that case, what we've done is we've provided the ability to temporarily disconnect name resolution from the corporate network so that you can actually force all the name resolution to be local. So it's kind of an advanced case, but it happens sometimes. But even when you do that, IT still has visibility of that client. You can still reach out to the client, but the user has just overridden some of their name resolution. And that's an option that you can disable. You can choose to not allow users to be able to do that. I want to go back and bring up my... what we have here is the Direct Access properties page. And this is what you get when you right-click on the Direct Access connection and say, I want to look at the properties. I want you to notice a few things about the page. First of all, at the top of the page, we've got the status of my connection. I'm currently connected. I also have I'm currently connected to which site I'm currently connected to. So in this case, the France site, which is what we were showing before. And you'll notice that I'm auto-selected. It found the closest one. And then finally, you'll see at the bottom the ability for me to collect logs. So suppose I'm on the help with the help desk. I can find out what problems exist. The help desk can ask me to collect some logs and email the logs to the help desk for troubleshooting. So again, if there's a problem in the field, it's very difficult to help the user. So this is just a way for users to get information back to the help desk. And I just want to show you what that log looks like. And you'll see you've got a tremendous amount of information. We just collect all the information possible about that user, that device, what kind of system they're on, their IP address information, their security credentials, the status of their IPsec sessions, their certificates, as well as information about what they saw when they tried to find entry points. So what did they find? What's there? What's not there? So again, you've got all the information at your fingertips to be able to help that user. And remember, since once the user is up and running, they'll then be able to move forward. So here's a night. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the nightmare scenario. You're on the road, and your laptop dies. Bad hard drive. Dead as a doornail. What do you do? Well, one of the nice things about Windows 8 is that we've enabled a new capability called off-premise provisioning. The ability to provision a remote PC to get onto your domain without forcing the client to come in and connect into the local network. And the way this works is very simple. I can go to a corporate portal and create a provisioning package. I log in with my domain credentials and download a provisioning package. It's basically an executable, which I can then take to a new client. So suppose that you sent me I call up the help desk, I've got a problem, I get a new laptop shipped to me overnight. Okay? Something to replace my old one. I can now take this provisioning package that I download and apply it to that new laptop. And what it will do, what that provisioning package does is it contains all the credentials I need to locally domain join that client. So that client will now be domain joined. And it will also have the necessary policy to bootstrap direct access connectivity. So now when I reboot that machine after applying that provisioning policy, what I have is a domain joined client with direct access configured. It will automatically connect back into the enterprise, and I can either get back to work, or all of my roaming user profiles will come down, my folder redirection will come down, and I will get my data, my settings, everything right back to where I was before. So this is a way to basically get that user back up and running without having them by simply giving them a provisioning package. Well, we can apply that same approach with Windows to Go, because shipping laptops is actually really expensive. And they're big, and you know, whereas USB keys are really small. Throw them in an envelope and mail it out. And in fact, you can do the exact same thing. I can go boot that USB key on any PC. I can download a provisioning package. I can domain join and provision that USB key, that Windows image, to be domain joined and have direct access configured on it. And now I've got a portable USB key, which is a domain joined client with direct access capabilities. All of my settings, all my files, everything is up and running. I can take that key and I can plug it into any PC and have a corporate sanctioned desktop available to me. So what we're again what you're seeing here again is this idea of being able to unleash the user from having to necessarily carry around a laptop or a tablet that's domain joined, but giving them the ability to operate on different devices. Imagine that USB key being used to plug into the home PC. So instead, the user might have a great PC at home, but you want to make that, you want to have a, be, know that access is secure. Well, you tell that user, you know what? Boot into the USB key, and now you'll have a secure desktop experience on your home PC. Okay, and you know that it's secure because it's a domain joined policy controlled image. So we've had a number of customers, actually, who've been starting to test this out. This is a quote from Expedia, the IT managers at Expedia, who are seeing this as a way to enable remote access, secure remote access from kiosks, where users would normally go to a kiosk and kind of use a browser. This is a way to get remote access in a way that can be trusted and secured. So what we've seen so far is that the Windows 8 client, together with some new capabilities in Windows Server 2012, provides a great fast and fluid integrated experience for getting onto the corporate network using direct access. We've seen that you can provide, we've got great troubleshooting capabilities that allow the user to get information back to the help desk to troubleshoot problems, and the ability to then extend that experience to any device, any PC, even a new PC, or even onto a USB key. So let's change gears a little bit and talk about multi-site deployment. What is the experience for a client connecting into the enterprise over multiple, in multiple sites? Well, multi-site selection works by having the client essentially probe a collection of servers, of direct access servers, looking for the best site to connect to. It looks for the site that has the shortest latency, and it will use that as the entry point to you. So as you're moving, it will automatically find you the best entry point. Just as a matter of contrast, the Windows 7 client is pinned to a particular entry point, a particular IP address entry point. So this is a new capability in Windows 8. Of course, both Windows 7 and Windows 8 are compatible with global load balancers. So if you have a global load balancer, yes, you can deploy both solutions. But Windows 8 has the ability to do this distributed probe built in. Let me just walk you through how this is all going to work, and then we'll show you the user experience. As an administrator, you can set up a direct access server either through the UI or using PowerShell. And we'll talk about PowerShell in just a little while as well, but everything you can do for setting up a direct access is now available also in PowerShell. The PowerShell or the UI creates a set of group policy objects for both the clients who are going to be using direct access as well as all of your servers. Those group policy objects are then pushed out to those clients and servers, and through a monitoring system, you're able to then pull telemetry data back out of all those servers no matter where they happen to be. So you can basically provision a global deployment one time through one set of PowerShell scripts, roll that setting out around the world to all of your servers, and then monitor all those servers right back in the Direct Access Monitoring Console. So it's all using the magic of group policy to basically do a global deployment. So I'm going to walk you through a demo of a client experience in a world that has multiple sites as well as high availability. So in this case, so what we have here is we're going to extend our example from before. We have two entry points, one in Washington, one in France. And I have a remote client connected over the internet. You'll notice that in France and in Washington, I have an application server. We'll call it App1. We have an instance in France, an instance in Washington. And Washington has two direct access servers essentially deployed in a cluster. Okay. Between the two sites, I have a site-to-site VPN that gives me connectivity between Washington and France. What we're going to do is connect our client into the Washington data center and see what that looks like. So we're going to bring up our client. As I said, we're already direct access connected. I'm going to bring up a properties sheet. And what you'll see, what you see, as we saw before, is that I have a multi-site connection. Okay? I'm configured right now to use the Washington entry point, and what we saw earlier is the ability to do auto selection. Bring up a browser, we're going to launch App1, and you see that I'm currently connected in through the Washington entry point to App1, which is running in Washington. And I want you to notice the IP address, and in particular the 1000. Okay? That 1000 represents my first DA server in that Washington entry point. So what we're then going to do is flip over and connect to App 1 running in France. So we'll go to our other tab. I'm connecting to App 1 in France. You'll notice that I'm still connected to the Washington entry point. Nothing has changed. And my entry IP address is still that 1,000 IP address coming from Washington. I'm now going to switch over to my virtual machine manager, and I'm going to shut down that first DA server in Washington, the one that my user is currently connected to. Okay, so we're going to shut it down and watch what happens. And while that's shutting down, let's just go back to our diagram, see what's going on here. As I mentioned, we have two DA servers sitting in Washington, DA server 1000, DA server 1001. So what we have already done is connected through our DA server 1000. That's why my IP address started 1000. And what we've just done is taken down that DA server. While that DA server was running, I was able to connect to my apps on both in Washington and in France. I just took down that DA server. And I'm going to connect. What you're going to see is I'm going to now be able to connect in to my second DA server. The client will automatically fail over to number 1001. You'll see the IP address change. And from there, I'll be still able to access both applications. Next, what I'll do is I'll take down that DA server 1001, and you'll see the client then connect over to France, server 1000 in France. And again, through that site-to-site VPN, get access to both the Washington and France sites. So let's just go back to our client. We're going to bring up our browser again. And now remember, we've just taken down that 1,000 site. And you'll notice that I now can connect to App 1. I'm still coming in through the Washington entry point. But what I've done is I've switched over to address 1,001. That means my client automatically detected that it was no longer able to reach that first entry point and had to switch over to the second entry point within the Washington cluster. Okay? The failover takes a few seconds. Basically, it takes a few seconds for the client to detect that a server went down and flip over. That's a really important thing because it means you can do patching in that cluster, bring down a server, and migrate the users without the users having to notice. Now, you notice I'm still connected to the Washington entry point. And what we're going to do is flip over and connect over to the France entry point manually this time rather than just waiting to take everything down and have the client flip over. But as we saw, typically you're going to have the user auto-select the best entry point. And you typically ask the user to manually select the entry point really as a help desk scenario. Okay, so most users will auto-select, but on occasion, if a server is down or you think there might be a problem, you might ask a user to try a different site just to troubleshoot. So we're going to switch over to France, and you see that we have immediately connected over to the new entry point. I'm going to bring up the application. And you'll notice now that I'm still connected to the app in Washington, but I'm connected through a France entry point. And I can go to France. I'm connected over the France entry point. So again, the experience is fast and fluid. It's natural. The user doesn't have to think about all these things. As servers come up or servers go down, the user will automatically connect over to the best location. So as we've worked with customers who are starting to deploy high availability, global rollouts, the ability to really support remote access at enterprise scale, hundreds of thousands of users in some cases, these are key capabilities to make it possible to roll out very large-scale direct access systems. So what we've seen so far is a great integrated client experience. We've seen troubleshooting. We've seen multi-site deployment and failover, the ability to support very large-scale deployment. But for a moment, I want to switch gears a minute and talk about very simple deployments. Suppose that all I want to do is get a direct access server up and running. I've got a few users. I want to do a pilot. I just want to get something working. We've heard from customers, we've heard from you, that direct access was just too hard, that it required too much thinking, too much effort, too many smart people. So we made a serious effort with Windows Server 2012 and Windows 8 to make direct access as easy as possible. So what I'm going to show you is our new Express Setup Wizard and how you can use the Express Setup Wizard to set up a basic direct access deployment in just a few clicks. So what we're going to do is set up a server and show how you can get it up and running. Let's bring this up. So what you see here is the server, is the role setup wizard that comes up when you first install remote access on a from Server Manager. What you'll see is two links. One is the a rich, detailed remote access setup wizard, but the first link is our Getting Started wizard. It's really designed to help you get started with remote access and unified remote access as quickly as possible. When you click on that, you're presented with three options. Now, you can choose to deploy Direct Access by itself. You can choose to deploy VPN by itself. But most typically, we expect most of our customers are going to deploy both Direct Access and VPN together. Because, as we saw before, you have a combination of managed devices and unmanaged devices, Windows and non-Windows, and you need to have a deployment that can support all of these. So what we're going to do is, so by bringing together Direct Access and VPN, you can have a single deployment that supports all of the devices that you want to support. I should mention that one of the things that we've done with VPN in this release, the VPN server in this release, is we've tested and validated our support for a number of different clients on a number of different devices. So we support built-in VPNs on the iPhone and the iPad. You can use and Android systems, and they will just work with our VPN server. For ease of use, I'm just going to, we just selected the Direct Access role, just to make it simple. And what we're doing here is searching out and learning about the network. We're learning about the domain controllers and learning about what kind of server we're running on to try and present smart options for the user. Now, the first and actually the only question we're going to ask you is, where do you want to deploy this DA server? Now, we can still deploy it on the edge, just like we used to do before, but we've now introduced two new options. Many of our customers have told us, look, we don't want to deploy on the edge. We want it to sit inside the DMZ. We have a NAT or a firewall on the edge, and we want to sit behind that. So we support the ability to deploy Direct Access and Unified Remote Access behind a NAT. We also support the ability to deploy Direct Access on a single interface NIC. So we're going to go ahead and do the deployment. What you see here is we're basically constructing the group policy, what we saw before, the policies for the client, the policies for the server, and we're pushing those policies out to Active Directory. Okay? And that's it. The policies out of Active Directory, the clients will automatically get those policies, and they'll automatically have Direct Access available to them. The Direct Access server is fully deployed with the group policy that's sitting on the that's also been pushed out to AD. So, nice and simple, three clicks, no IPv6, no certificates, no PKI. I can even do it. So, what we're going to do. So we had a school, Bear Creek School, out in Washington. The principal of the school actually did their Direct Access deployment. Okay, I kid you not. The principal of the school over the weekend rolled out Direct Access for the faculty, and basically did exactly what I just showed you. And Monday morning, the faculty came in and had remote access all of a sudden into the school's resources. Amazing, great experience for those users. So let me just talk a little bit about some of the caveats and capabilities of that wizard, because it is designed to get you up and running with a simple deployment. There are lots of things in that you can do to make it more complex. That simple deployment works with Windows 8 clients. I'll tell you why. Because one of the things that we did is, because we don't require PKI, we use the inbox Kerberos capability that is built into Windows 8 client that I talked about earlier. Essentially, what we do is we generate a set of self-signed certificates, put them on the client, put them on the server, and we use the self-signed certificates to basically establish an SSL connection for encrypting the Kerberos exchange that comes from the client back into the enterprise. Okay? There's no machine certificates, no PKI. We're just using standard Kerberos, and we're just securing that Kerberos link over the internet for encryption purposes. It's a single IPsec tunnel. So basically, when the machine comes up, we bring up one IPsec tunnel that's used for both machine activities as well as user activities. And it's a single factor authentication, basically using that Kerberos password. So that's a very simple deployment. You can actually get it all up and running very, very quickly. Simple. However, obviously not every deployment is going to be simple. And so what we've done is we've actually provided a set of rich PowerShell that lets you go take a step beyond this, take that basic deployment, and start using PowerShell to extend it in a variety of different ways. And you can just do this right from PowerShell, or you can use the built-in UI to make these extensions. Obviously, you can do integration with PKI using machine certificates. You can support certificate revocation lists. They're optional, but they're available. You can have two IPsec tunnels. You could do one IPsec tunnel session just for your machine traffic and a separate one for the user traffic. That can be useful if you want to actually monitor the traffic separately or route it separately, or, you know, in some cases we've seen users who say, you know what, I want to use direct access just to manage the PC, but I don't want users to actually be able to get remote access at all, right? So it's kind of, I call it LoJack for enterprise laptops. You can see them, but they can't see you. I should mention one of the neat things about one of the things that in that policy that lets you manage out. Of course, when you define that policy, you've got to tell the client which enterprise resources are going to be able to access it, because the client is configured to protect itself from random people trying to access it. Well, one of the problems that our customers often ran into is, well, you've got a server that is actually deployed. You know, maybe it's your WSUS server that has an IP address, and then somebody decided to move that WSUS server. And the problem is the person who moved that WSUS server never told the remote access administrator that that IP address changed, right? And so all of a sudden, you lost all that visibility because somebody made a change somewhere else in the enterprise you didn't know. So we actually have a PowerShell command that lets you basically run an auto-sync that updates those policies. So it goes out, looks at a set of resources that you want to have access to those PCs, essentially runs an audit to see if those resources have moved, then automatically updates those policies, pushes them out to group policy, and gets those policies back out to the client. So again, keeping it simple, keeping it automatic, eliminating places where errors can happen. We've already talked about single factor, two factor, certificates, one-time password, as well as virtual smart card. We also support network access protection if you want to do compliance checks on that client. We've talked about multi-site deployment, and we've talked about the fact that, or one of the things that through the PowerShell, you can actually configure the system to support both Windows 8 and Windows 7 clients connecting in simultaneously. So a lot of different deployment options, all available to you using PowerShell with built-in UI. All right. I can't do a direct access talk without at least talking about IPv6. It's kind of the elephant in the room. I have to talk about it. I have good news about IPv6, so it's all good. We use IPv6, yes. There's a reason why direct access uses IPv6. Many enterprise networks use private addresses, 10-dot addresses, 192.168 addresses, 172 addresses. They're all private addresses. It turns out that everybody uses the same addresses. And so when I'm at my coffee shop, or I'm at home, actually, my bigger problem is actually at home, I'm using the same addresses at home that my enterprise is using. And I want to be able to print. I really want to be able to print when I'm at home. And the client doesn't actually know how to deal with this, right? Because it thinks that there are two things that have the same IP address. And how do you route traffic when they all look the same? So we made a design decision early in Direct Access to use IPv6 because it allows us to make sure that the enterprise resources have different IP addresses and unique IP addresses relative to the rest of the world. It allows us to disambiguate. Now, there's a problem with that, which is that most people don't have IPv6. I'm here to tell you today that we no longer require IPv6 deployment. Okay? We deploy direct access on top of IPv4 networks just fine. If there's no IPv6 available, let me talk about the two things we do. On the internet, if you don't have IPv6 on the internet, we will tunnel all your IPv6 traffic inside IPv4. We'll use UDP, we'll use SSL, we'll get the traffic into the corporate network whatever way we can and make sure that even though you're on an IPv4 network, things just work. And if in the enterprise you have some IPv6 resources, because some of you are actually rolling out IPv6 slowly, you might have an IPv6 resource, but an IPv4-only network, we'll tunnel that traffic across your IPv4 network and get it there. Okay? However, and this is new in Windows Server 2012, if you have an IPv4-only network in the enterprise, and you've got IPv4-only resources in the enterprise, we'll simply take all those IPv6 addresses that we're receiving over the internet, and we'll bring them and we'll convert them right back to IPv4. So on your enterprise network, all you'll see is normal, clean, simple IPv4 traffic that just originates from the direct access server. This is all done automatically for you. We basically pull the traffic in, rewrite the addresses, and push it back out. So you don't have to deploy transition technologies, you don't have to deploy gateways, it's all built right in. Okay? So we believe that direct access is actually now deployable on any customer network. Most importantly, as a remote access administrator or a desktop administrator, my worst nightmare is contacting those networking guys and asking them to do something for me, because networking people are scary, I'll tell you that. I say that as a networking person. We have a set of new capabilities for health monitoring. I don't have time today to show you all the UI, but we have a monitoring UI that lets you see the health of all your direct access servers. We have and see get visibility into all the users who are connecting, how much traffic they're sending, how long they've been connecting, where they're connecting through. There's MomPacks, there's BPAs. Again, really making this an integrated role that you can integrate across your enterprise. And of course, we have PowerShell. We have a lot of PowerShell. The wizard that I showed you is built on top of PowerShell. In fact, it's actually built on top of exactly one PowerShell command. So you can actually, with one PowerShell command, deploy an entire DA system. You can go in, you can get the Windows feature and deploy and add the remote access feature into PowerShell, and there is, in fact, a command called install remote access. And with that one command, you can get exactly what that Express Wizard did, you can deploy in that one PowerShell command. And then we've got a lot more commands that let you go in and start tweaking the system in any way you want. So it's all scriptable. It's all available. It's all designed so that you can easily roll this out. Okay. Wow, that was a lot. But I'm not done yet. We got more. Performance and scale. As more and more of your users are remote, they're remote all the time, they're using more devices, scalability becomes more and more important. You've got a lot more traffic coming in over that remote pipe. And in fact, what we're finding is users are doing more and more sophisticated things. So they're trying to move larger documents around. They're making voice calls. They're chatting. They're doing lots of things that are data intensive. So scalability is important. High availability is important. And virtualization is important. These are some preliminary numbers to just give you a sense of some of the performance benefits we're getting. So this is on a 4-core, 2.1 gigahertz system, 4 gigabytes of RAM. And we're essentially doubling the amount of traffic that we can handle on a single server. Big, big performance wins. And let me give you a sense of some of the kinds of things that we've been doing in this release to deliver those kinds of performance wins. Well, I mentioned that IPv6 traffic is often tunneled into the enterprise over both SSL or UDP. Well, one of the things that Windows Server 2012 supports is the ability to spread UDP traffic across multiple cores. So in the past, if you had a lot of traffic coming in, we would basically send all that traffic for processing in a single core. In Windows Server 2012, we spread that traffic now across multiple cores. So all your cores are now being used. You don't have all that idle CPU capacity that was being wasted. Okay, so a lot of your inbound traffic now can be spread, and you can take full advantage of your system. And as more and more cores show up in your servers, you'll immediately get those performance benefits from those cores. I mentioned that we do tunnel traffic over SSL. Well, one of the things that we've done is we've eliminated double encryption from SSL. If all the traffic coming in is already encrypted inside IPsec tunnels, then why do we need to do a second level of encryption in the SSL tunnel? So in fact, we can negotiate null encryption on the SSL tunnel because we know that all the traffic going inside that SSL tunnel is actually encrypted using IPsec. So it's already secure. We don't need to double encrypt. One of the neat things that we've also done is we've put a lot of effort in making sure that you can deploy remote access servers in VMs. Okay? You might be trying to, we've just found that VMs are clearly the way everybody wants to go. They're easier to roll out. They're easier to scale. One of the neat features of Windows Server 2012 is a feature called SRIOV, Single Root I/O Virtualization. Single Root I/O Virtualization basically takes the physical NIC and makes it available to a virtual machine. So the virtual machine can send traffic to and from the network and bypass all of the overhead associated with a hypervisor and the hypervisor virtual switch. What it means is that you can deploy a remote access role in a VM and not sacrifice performance because of network I/O throughput. So SRIOV gives you all that CPU back and gives you all that latency back for workloads such as remote access that are heavily data intensive. The other thing we've done is made sure that IPsec task offload or IPsec acceleration is also available to a VM. So if your network card supports IPsec task offload, when you run remote access inside a VM, you'll be able to still take advantage of IPsec task offload from that virtual machine. So again, we want to make sure that you can deploy a VM and not have to compromise performance and scale. We are compatible with NIC teaming. So if you are deploying NIC teaming or multiple teams, multiple NICs, you can use NIC teaming to get load balancing and failover within the server itself. And that includes for using the offload technologies like RSS and RSS, SRIOV, and IPsec task offload. So again, lots of performance enhancements in networking that are specifically designed to make the remote access role more scalable, more performant, and more flexible. Okay, so we've talked about VPNs, we've talked about direct access, we've talked about the client, we've talked about the server, we've talked about scale, we've talked about deployment. But I said unified remote access, and I've only unified two things. So two is clearly not the right number. Three is the right number. So let's talk a little, let's go back to our example. I had my Washington entry point with a single DA server, with a pair of DA servers. And I had my France entry point with a DA server. And what I mentioned to you is I had a site-to-site VPN connecting them. Well, we looked at that architecture, and it troubled us. It troubled us because it meant that you had lots and lots of servers basically just getting stuff connected. Right? You had one set of servers for your clients, another set of servers for your remote VMs, and another set of servers just to connect your different sites together, or connect your private cloud and your public cloud together. So what we've done in Windows Server 2012 in that unified remote access role is we've also brought together site-to-site VPN to support both remote VMs as well as remote networks that need to get connected together. This is a core enabler, not just for a multi-site enterprise, but for an enterprise that's really migrating to a hybrid cloud. So what we've done is brought it all together into one server, the unified remote access role, and that server will provide all the connections to your remote clients, your remote sites, and your remote VMs. When you deploy, you can simply choose which capabilities you want to have. So even though it's all unified, you might choose still to have one server for site-to-site and one server for remote access, but it's still managed the same way, it's still configured the same way, it still can run in VMs, so you can still differentiate if you want, but it's one set of training, one set of tools, one set of management. Okay. I have a talk actually tomorrow. For those of you who are interested in hybrid cloud, site-to-site VPN, and how to migrate VMs around, we have a talk tomorrow on Hyper-V network virtualization where we're going to go into a lot more detail on how hybrid clouds are built using network virtualization and site-to-site. Let's come back to direct access, and let me talk a little bit about interoperability, because I assume that most of you are not about to roll out Windows 8 clients and Windows Server 2012 all at the same time, right? Fair assumption? We'd like you to, but, and if you do, you will get every feature that I've just talked about. But let me talk a little bit about what happens if you don't. We know that a lot of our customers are going to have just rolled out Windows 7, and we'll have those Windows 7 clients around for a while. Many of our customers will have a mix of Windows 7 and Windows 8 clients. If you've deployed Windows Server 2012 as your unified remote access server, it will work with both Windows 8 and Windows 7 clients just fine. There's a few limitations that the Windows 7 clients will have, which are really based on the capabilities of Windows 7 itself. Windows 7 clients only connect to a single entry point. They don't support the multi-site probing that I mentioned for Windows 8. Windows 7 clients can only support PKI-based authentication. And Windows 7 clients obviously don't support the new features such as Windows to Go. However, they'll work just fine. In fact, we have just released a capability called the Direct Access Capability Assistant. We've just updated that to improve the user experience for Windows 7 clients, to make the Windows 7 client experience, in particular the troubleshooting UI, similar to the Windows 8 UI. So your Windows 7, your help desk can support Windows 7 users and Windows 8 users with the same set of tools, the same set of logs, same set of capabilities that they need to have. We recognize that you're going to have a mix of clients for some time, and that's fine. Now, if you have Windows 7 clients, Windows 8 clients, but you are going to continue to be running Windows Server 2008 R2, that's fine too. Windows 8 will continue to work. There's a few limitations there, which are, again, really based on the limitations of Windows Server 2008 R2. You'll require PKI. Probably the biggest limitation is that you won't be able to deploy multi-site except through a global load balancer, and you will have to deploy IPv6 inside the enterprise, some kind of tunneled IPv6 connectivity, right? Which is what you had to be able to do today, or you had to deploy some additional tools that provided, such as UAG, that provided a NAT64. And of course, Windows 7 does work with Windows Server 2008 R2, and you get all the limitations that we've already talked about. PKI, multi-site, no Windows to Go support, and so on. But things do interoperate. You can choose to roll out the client incrementally. You can choose to roll out the server incrementally, and it's all designed to continue to work with each other. Obviously, if you're starting out fresh and you have the ability to roll out Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012 together, you'll get the best experience of all. I want to highlight a few partners who have been working with us on unified remote access for quite some time. And many of them have now announced products that really make unified remote access easy to deploy. Several appliance vendors, and in particular N-Appliance, IVO, IVO Networks, and Celestix, have actually announced or are about to ship appliances, network appliances, that provide unified remote access. So you can buy a network appliance that supports VPN, direct access, site-to-site connectivity, as well as Hyper-V network virtualization, all in one box. N-Appliance and IVO Networks are actually here on the show floor, and I strongly encourage you to go take a look at their equipment. It's a great set of gear. F5 Networks is working on integration of site-to-site connectivity within the F5 load balancer. Gemalto, security partner who's provided support for their smart card technology integrated into Direct Access. So as an ecosystem, if you don't want to deploy a server box, you can go get a network appliance. And many of our customers are actually going that way. So I want to summarize by just reiterating the four areas that we have really focused on with Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012 Unified Remote Access. A great user experience, simplified deployment and monitoring, enabling a set of new scenarios, and giving scale and performance. And in fact, at the end of the day, what we've recognized is that the workforce is changing. It needs to be mobile, it needs to use a lot of different devices, and that you want to have one set of tools that allow you to start enabling all of those users to come in with one set of management, one set of deployment, one set of scaling. We also have made substantial enhancements to Direct Access, both in the Windows 8 client and in Windows Server 2012, to improve the user experience, and more importantly, to allow you to deploy everything from a very simple Direct Access deployment all the way up to a very large, multi-site, global rollout. There's a lot of tools out there that are really geared to make it very easy for you to get started now, using the Windows 8 Release Preview and Windows Server 2012 RC. So there's a couple of links down here to a couple of getting started guides that are actually on the web. You can go get those, download that content, and follow the step-by-step guide to get up and running. We've got a number of other sessions that really talk about areas that are related to Direct Access, whether it be a client talk talking about branch cache and mobile broadband and mobility of the enterprise, all the way to Windows to Go, a deep dive into Windows to Go, deep dive into IPv6, deep dives into Hyper-V network virtualization, and cross-premise connectivity. So if you're interested in any of those areas that touch on Direct Access and Unified Remote Access, I strongly encourage you to go there. We have a Direct Access and Branch Cache booth over at the Technical Learning Center, and many of my colleagues are there answering questions and can go into a lot of detail. And with that, I am going to leave the tag up for those of you who want to fill out the evaluation. Would appreciate your feedback. And with that, I want to thank you for your attention today, and I'd be happy to take any questions.